If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, hey, and welcome to the House of L podcast. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Thanks so much for hanging out. It's appreciated. I know I've been away for a little bit because I have been celebrating my 50th birthday, which is a whole nother podcast from this one. It's actually the next one. So if you want to hear about it, there's nothing like that. I didn't go to Brazil or anything like that. But I do want to talk about being 50, which in the next episode, you can check that out and hear it for yourself. I wanted to spend this episode talking about something that is rather important to me, and that's fulfilling my obligation as a professor at DePaul. I can't tell you how much I love it. Like how much it means to me to be able to go back there and help out in whatever way I can. Shout out to Scott Viverman who works over there. And it's funny, I actually had his son in my class this quarter, which was strange. But he's the person who first suggested to me back in 2012 that I should come back to the university, be a part of it, and do some stuff. And I'm really happy that he did, because it's weird. When I was in college, there were three distinct routes that I was thinking about going. One was what I'm doing now. Like I could follow the dream of being in broadcasting one way or the other, be on air, because that was one of the things that I was thinking about doing, or maybe be like a super producer for a television show, which I've had the chance to do. Not a super producer, I was a peon, but you know, I got my opportunity to work in producing television, and I guess technically I've produced a pilot along with some of the really fine people over at Channel 11. So far the pilot hasn't been picked up, but I at least was able to work through some of that. And shout out to my guy Eddie over at WTTW. The other route that I was going to take was I had done really well in the LSATs. And I thought about joining the Navy, having the Navy pay for me to go to law school, and then serving as a judge advocate general. And that was on the table. Senior year, it was on the table for me to do. I had already picked out law school and everything. And the third one was to teach. I had come into DePaul as a Golden Apple Scholar, and I'm actually looking forward to I've been asked to host the Golden Apple Awards this year, and I couldn't be more thrilled. It's a very much like a full circle moment for me, even though I didn't initially immediately end up in a classroom. And I feel like I've kind of gotten the best of both worlds because of my experience. I will refer to, I think it's even in my Twitter and Instagram profile, at Lawrence W. Holmes. If I'm not doing much on Twitter these days. Occasionally, your boy breaks a story on Twitter. But for the most part, I'll jump into the TikTok thing, and I know I'm a decade late, if Jenna Duddleston will help me with that. By the way, Jenna was one of my first students that I had at DePaul. So seeing her succeed and unfortunately move on from the score, but I know that she's moving into better stuff for her, really, really is exciting. But I refer to myself as a scholar practitioner because I teach what I do and I teach what I know. And that's hopefully getting young people ready for the ever-changing world of broadcasting. Like the class, like people ask me, what do I teach? And it's a little bit of everything. The class goes over content creation. We go over ratings. We go over producing and show blocking. We go over topic development, ethics. All of those things are mixed into this one class that I do. And I'm proud that every year DePaul kind of asks me what my preference is and when do I want to teach. And it's the best decision that I've made as an adult is to go back and be a part of it. Not just for what I hope it does for the students, but selfishly what it does for me. If you go back probably like 10, 12 episodes ago, I was talking about my students and their Bears thoughts. It is really invigorating to be in a room with young minds that, for the most part, aren't cynical yet. They have some skepticism, but they're not cynical yet. And my hope is that they can live in an industry where they won't have to be. Now, I prepare them for that because I am cynical in some respects. I'm mostly skeptical, but in some respects, I am cynical. And I want to prepare them for what life is like out in the real world. But they often surprise and inspire me. And I'm truly grateful for that. They are energetic. You know, there are times when you walk into the classroom and you can see that it's been a long weekend or they're going through some stuff right now. But for the most part, they are energetic. And when you walk into the classroom, they have questions. This group in particular, I've been on record talking about this before. I'm a huge fan of the Gen Z kids. I just am. And that's probably a byproduct of me being their parents' age. Like, I could be the parent of any of the students in my class. Like, I'm that far gone. And I didn't have to parent. So my perspective isn't as in some ways calloused and in other ways inexperienced as people who are actual parents. I'm an adult who is their parents' age and probably went through a lot of the things that their parents did other than childbirth and rearing a kid. So I can look at it a little bit differently, but I really like them. I like them because this group, and I'm not trying to throw shade at millennials, and I know that there's a big portion of House of L fans that are millennials. The millennials were often just kind of looking for me to help them get a job. And that's fine. That's part of the reason that I'm there. But it was a lot more transactional. Like, the relationship was more transactional. The relationship with the Gen Z kids is, my hope is that I'm helping them and preparing them for things that they're going to encounter in the industry, and in some cases, life. One thing that I notice, and now I have to, when I do the audit of the class later on this summer, because I need a break, but when I do the audit of the class, one of the things that I want to focus in on is getting them to a place where they feel more comfortable communicating face-to-face. And so I probably need to do some work on that myself. Like, I need to be trained. like talk to some people, maybe do a couple workshops with folks so that I can help them in that regard. Because I think that's where, because they're digital natives, because they have lived their whole life in a world where once they really become sentient, they've been living in a place where social media is currency. And trying to get them to understand that being able to connect with an audience in a lot of cases has its roots in being able to connect with people one-on-one. The idea is right now, I hope, that you think that I'm talking directly to you. And that's the goal. It's you and me. And that can work for thousands of people. And in cases of big national shows, it can work for millions of people if you do it correctly. It's one of the best notes that Dan gave me early on in my career. And it's the idea of you, not you fans. Or to give you an example, if I'm talking about the Cubs, it's not, hey, Cub fans, blah, 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 blah. It's, hey, you, the Cub fan. It's a subtle difference, but it's really important, and I've taken it to heart throughout my entire broadcasting career. It's the ability to be able to do both of those things, to talk to a massive group of people, but have the connection of it being one person. Radio is intimate. TV can be intimate when done well. It can be intimate. The person who's watching it should feel like you're just talking to them. If we're talking about like a pod on TV, or if we're talking about delivering a news report, it should feel like the person who has got the microphone is talking just to you. That comes from socialization. And to me, these are the best parts of socialization. My students don't have a lot of that. That's the conclusion that I came to. And I noticed that I have a few athletes in the class. They found it easier to communicate, I think partially because they've been forced. Like if I was writing a paper on it, that might be one of the original premises that I write down. So I do think that if I teach next year, that there will be a big portion of it that is socialization. It'll be them talking to each other. Because, and honestly, like I need to do more of this too. Like I have descended into being in my phone. And luckily, I still have. It's why I always prefer, I don't like working from home. If I have to because I don't feel particularly well or something like that, or if I'm in another city, then cool, I can work remote. I'd rather not, because I like the interaction with everyone, not just like Spiegs and Tanny and Alex, but talking to the security guard, Smitty. Going to get tea from the 11th floor, from Elizabeth. Running into Mitch often, and he's like a tornado. Are you okay? Is everything all right? You need anything? Yes, I'm fine. Seeing Layla and Mark, like, I need that interaction because I'm very used to solitary. Like, I'm a self-starter. I don't need a lot to function or to live. I live a very, like, Spartan-esque life. So it's good for me to get out the house and have those interactions, including the interactions that I have with my students. And I like when they're active and they want to play and they want to give back and forth on particular topics. It's also fun to hear their perspective on some of these topics.
This is Michael Rosenbaum.
Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The idea of getting a group of, I think the age range in my class this year was 19 to 25 this year, because I had a couple of grad students in there. Getting their perspective on what was going on with Bill Belichick was amazing. Seeing it from their eyes and them being able to put themselves in Jordan's position and being like, oh, okay, I guess I never really thought about it from that perspective. It's helpful, but I want to get them to the place where they aren't looking down when they're talking to people, that they're straightforward when they're asking for things. But this group, this last group that I had, I was really impressed with. I'm always impressed. Look, when commencement comes around, when we get to the end of the year, and maybe this is partially why I like teaching in the spring, I get emotional. Like, I'm very emotional. And I usually am very emotional with my students at the end. At the beginning, there's a little bit of a wall that's up. And I'm trying to let them know, like, how serious I take this and how serious I take their future. But by the end, like, they've worn me down. And I mean that in the best possible way. This happens every single year. Like clockwork, I know this about myself. And honestly, I look forward to that release of emotion that I have, because it is filled up with a lot of pride. And not in whatever it is that I'm doing, although that's part of it, but how proud I am of how hard they work. I've said this for the last 4 years, and I'll say it again, because now we're at the end of, at least for college, we are at the end of the kids who were in college during COVID. But this goes for any student. And if you're a parent of any student that was in school during COVID, I want you to really understand what it is that they accomplished. In the history of American education, we have never had what we had in 2020 and 2021. Their ability to adapt and survive and learn is amazing. They should be commended for that. And I know that it's difficult for people because we think about how hard our lives were in whatever it is that you did, where you were walking uphill both ways to school in the snow with one shoe on and all that stuff. What they did is incredible. And we need to recognize that. And inside of that recognition, we also need to recognize that something was lost. And it's that, one, I think that there was a level of I feel safe that was taken away, that was stripped away from all of us. But imagine being a 14-year-old kid, a 15-year-old kid, a 10-year-old kid in the moments of COVID. And I think we're still recovering from it. I think that we'll be able to do studies on the Gen Z kids, and we'll see that that trauma is unfortunately going to live with them for a really long time. And the great thing about, there's a lot of great things about the Gen Z kids, but one of the great things about them is that they don't seem to be afraid, as afraid of therapy as we were when we were their age. They seem to understand that they need to talk some of this stuff through and work through it. Like, mental health is a big deal to them, and I appreciate that about them too. But yeah, I get emotional and weepy about commencement and the end and what students have done to get to that point. Every beginning has an end, right? And you get there and you can look back and you can go, I did that. And when they walk in that first class, the end of the quarter seems so far away. And then you look up and you're more than halfway through it. And you're like, there's still so much more I want them to know. There's more time that I want to spend with them. I want them to understand what it is that they're choosing, if they're choosing to be in this particular industry. And I want to help if I can. I took this group on a tour of Odyssey Chicago. That was our last class together. One, because I believe that students need and deserve time. I know what spring quarter of my senior year was like. And I think fondly to the last 2 weeks when I really didn't have much to do. Like, I was getting the grades that I was getting, and my roommate, my homeboy, Matt Lazzarato, like, us going to go play catch in the quad. I'll never forget that. Like, just baseball season was over. Our baseball careers were probably over. I had tryouts later on in the summer, but to just go out and throw and not have a lot of cares in the world because you know where you're living for the next few weeks and your food is taken care of and classes are over and your final project's in and all that stuff. But I wanted them to see the different, how different the environments are from station to station at Odyssey. B96 works differently than the score. The score works differently than BBM AM. BBM AM works differently than XRT. XRT works differently than US 99. And I wanted them to explore that. And I wanted them to see what the environment looked like. The newsroom of WBBM is so entertaining to just watch. Like, watches everything is going on and breaking news is happening and reporters are filing. It's watching that take place is my students, their first jobs are probably going to be as associate producers, or they're going to help with script writing. They're not going to be given a ton of responsibility early on, but they're going to be given some, and this is the rhythm of it. And you need to see what it looks like and go, I can do this. I want to introduce them to young people who are doing exceptional work, like Jake Hassan, who works at BetMGM, who's barely older than my students, and he's doing a great job. Or Robbie Triano, who's barely older than my students, and he's doing a great job working on Rahimi and Harris, running their board. Or Jenna Duddleston, who was doing all of our stuff, or was helping Connor O'Donnell do all of our stuff on social media. And they can see, look, there are paths, and there are people that are your age that are in these seats, and you can do it. And seeing them, like seeing their eyes get big, you know, seeing my students get really excited to meet Layla, or having my students be like, wait, I didn't know that that was a job. Like, that is a job? Yeah. There's all sorts of stuff in our business where you don't have to be behind the camera or in front of the camera or behind the microphone. You can be behind the camera. And I was really happy that my friend Kevin Bulldog Anderson came and spoke with him, because what he's doing in his career after leaving NBC Sports Chicago, it gave them another example of, oh, that's a job? Yeah. You can be a person who helps make graphics and sells the programming of which the graphics are used on ESPN and SEC Network and CHSN, wherever. You can do all of that. So to see them learn and ideally have them feel like they're not alone in this is important. I did something this year that I've never done, but I thought it was important and I wanted to try it out. And I think it's going to stay inside of my curriculum. I added this year exit interviews. So I took the last week of class, and instead of us doing lessons or them getting prepared for a final paper exam or something like that, I wanted to meet with students individually to try and figure out if there were matches. Like, if I tried to think of myself as a universal adapter, I know a lot of people. There are a lot of people who will take my email or my phone call or my text message. And if I can get them two steps beyond to getting to their goal, then great. And I was able to, at least in some cases, match a couple of my students with people in the industry that can help them get to where they want to go. And there's nothing better than getting that email from a student that says, thanks, professor, I got it from here. That's what I really like about these kids, man. They just need a little bit of help. And in some cases, they're afraid to ask for it. But when you show them that you're willing to help them, they open up and they share. And then they got it. Like, they're, you know, they can navigate a lot of different things. And I always like to tell them, like, if you need an adult, and you feel like you can't talk to anyone, I am here. I belong to you forever is how I feel about my students. They can email me at any time. It doesn't have to be just inside the quarter. I've had students that have hit me up 4 or 5 years after being in the class and asked what my opinion is on what they should do next. And I take that very seriously. And I'm glad that I made it all the way back around to, as my mother would say, joining the family business. My parents are both educators. And so doing it in this way has been everything I could have hoped for. I've enjoyed my career in broadcasting. And I know eventually it's going to end. Not soon, though. I'll have an update on that in a few days. But even walking my students through my contract negotiations has been enlightening, I hope, for them, and it's been therapeutic for me. But I'm glad that I joined this family business, and I'm glad that my alma mater continues to ask me back to do stuff. And I don't mind doing stuff for other people, too. I'm all for coming to speak to your class. I do think that the lessons that I have are probably more suited for college-age students than they are high school, but depending on what type of program, if you're New Trier or you're HF or you're Evanston Township, yeah, it probably makes sense to have me come and talk to your students. I'll do the best that I can for them, but take it easy on these kids, all right? Like, they've been asked to grow up very quickly, and I'm not sure that they have all of the tools that they need, but they are willing to learn, and it's beautiful when the light clicks on, man. It's beautiful. And I'm glad that I do this, and I'm glad that I get emotional every single year. It lets me know that I can still feel feelings and that I'm, in this case, like out here really trying to fight the good fight. So congratulations to every student everywhere. And even if your kid is just going from fourth grade to fifth grade, give them a hug, tell them congratulations, and tell them that you're proud of them. I know I'm proud of mine. And since I don't have any biologicals, my students, I refer to them as my kiddos, and they don't mind it. I'm proud of all of my kiddos. And the ones that are going to walk, I'm super proud of them. And I hope they are ready for the adventure that awaits them. And I hope that I got to play a very small role in what happens next. And I know that you've played a big role in what your child has got. So just in, I know that some of these graduation parties and end of the year parties can be annoying, but just sit back and think about what they've done and what they've accomplished, and tell them that you're proud of them. Thanks for listening. I will talk to you next time. Peace.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.